I'm John Kroll. Today on No Limits, in partnership with our colleagues at Side Effects Public Media, we're going to talk about increasing use of e-cigarettes and vaping devices among Indiana youth. My guests are Shirley DuBois with Howard County Tobacco Free, Dr. Leslie Holverson-Shorn of the Indiana University School of Medicine, reporter Lee Danoon, Side Effects reporter Araceli Gomez-Eldana, and Danielle Patterson from the American Heart Association. Please join the conversation. Call 866-476-3881. Email nolimits@wfyi.org. Find us on Facebook at nolimitswfyi or track us down on Twitter at WFYI. Now, this news. Welcome to No Limits. I am John Kroll, director of Franklin College's Pulliam School of Journalism, publisher of the StateHouseFile.com, and your host. Today on No Limits, we're going to be talking about the increasing use of e-cigarettes and vaping devices among Indiana youths. This is part of our ongoing community conversation in partnership with our colleagues at Side Effects Public Media about important public health issues. If you want to join this conversation, please give us a buzz at 866-476-3881. You can send us an email at nolimits@wfyi.org, find us on Facebook at nolimitswfyi, or track us down on Twitter at WFYI. Well, we have got a full roster of guests today on No Limits. Joining me by phone right now are Shirley DuBois with Howard County Tobacco Free and our own reporter Lee Danoon. I'm also joined here in the studio by Side Effects reporter Araceli Gomez-Eldana and Danielle Patterson from the American Heart Association. Welcome to all of you.
Thank you.
Thanks.
It's good.
Thanks, John. Thank you.
Certainly, it's good to have you all here. So I'm going to start with you, Araceli. We probably most of us who have those of us who have teenage children anyway are aware of e-cigarettes and the vaping and all of that. But there are people out there for whom this would be a relatively recent phenomenon, and the knowledge base might not be as complete. Could you talk a little bit about what e-cigarettes and vaping are?
Sure.
So that everybody's included in the discussion.
Yes, I think that it's kind of important to kind of distinguish. So we have our e-cigarettes, what of course is the electronic cigarette. And I think the best version of what we have in our minds is something like a cig-alike, right? Something that looks like a cigarette, but it's an electronic device. And then we also have vape pens or vaping pens, and those are a little bit different. They're a little bit bigger. They produce a lot of smoke. And if you go on YouTube or any of these, you know, social media sites that people are visiting, especially youth, there's a lot of vape pens that produce a lot of smoke, right? So you see like cool tricks that people are doing and all of this stuff. Those are vape pens, but some of those we don't really know what's in them, and we don't know how much nicotine is in them. When we're talking about things like e-cigarettes, like Juuls, specifically because they're the most popular, those are electronic devices that just deliver nicotine to the body. So they produce little smoke. They're very sleek and small, and kids are using them. And of course, sometimes they don't know that there's even nicotine in them. So, you know, people use them to get off of traditional cigarettes, and that's great if you're over 18 years old. If you're under 18 years old, that's not so great.
Shirley, how long have these devices been around?
For quite some time. I know that the Juul here in Howard County, I first bought for presentations and to give presentations to adults and youth and students. That was 2015 when I bought the first Juul. But e-cigarettes have been around, they've been around for a long, long time, as long as big tobacco has been around. But again, the popularity of them have been, I'm going to guess, you know, in 2015 when the Juul first started.
That's when at least, you know, again, I have teenage children. That's when the alerts first started coming back our way. Lee, you know, when did this start to track as a public health concern?
Well, John, specifically, I can talk to you about the area in which I live, which is Northwest Indiana. Mm-hmm. It's a very rural county, and in interviewing the high school health and physical education teachers, they said, you know, they started noticing these devices just a year ago. But this year, it's like most of the kids in the school are using them. Even kids that, you know, wouldn't normally smoke a cigarette are using them. So I don't know, you know, how long ago it became popular, but in the kids that I talked to and the teachers, last year was when it just, the usage shot through the roof.
Danielle, probably ought to talk at this point about why there is a concern, what the health risks are.
So, you know, we at the American Heart Association is very concerned about this because of the fact that, you know, as we work across the country to eliminate tobacco use, we're seeing the rise of people using these e-cigarettes, especially our youth. It's very concerning because people think e-cigarettes are safe, and they're not safe whatsoever. Nicotine, some products contain nicotine. Some products contain nicotine almost to the level as combustible cigarettes. Nicotine can harm the developing, especially for adolescents, their brain. Nicotine addiction, we know that it can also lead from you using an e-cigarette or a vape pen or a Juul, and also use a combustible cigarette, which is your regular burn cigarette. And so we're very concerned that there's going to be some dual use with these products. And when you talk about any type of addiction, we know that this is just not good. When people have one addiction, it can certainly lead to other addictive behaviors. And so that's why we're trying to get a hold of this now, especially among our youth, so it will not lead to other addictive behaviors.
If you are just joining us, we are talking about the increasing use of e-cigarettes and vaping devices among Indiana youth today on No Limits. If you want to join the conversation, please give us a buzz at 866-476-3881. You can send us an email at nolimits@wfyi.org. Find us on Facebook at nolimitswfyi, or track us down on Twitter at wfyi. So, Lee, you said it's been in the past year that really the usage of this has exploded. What is it about these devices that young people find so alluring?
It was interesting. You know, I interviewed our county health nurse, and she had attended a couple of health fairs at a middle school and at a high school. And, you know, she was asking the kids, where did you learn about these? And they were like, well, from our parents. A lot of the parents use these and don't think that they are harmful. And that's the issue. They're marketed, you know, with lots of colors and lots of flavors. One of the e-liquids that has been confiscated in the school this year that I saw was flavored marshmallow. So it was supposed to taste like s'mores when you use it. And there are other candy flavors. And so it's marketed as something that's safe and, you know, fun. And kids like learning how to blow smoke rings with the vapor. And that's kind of how they get hooked. Little do they know, though, that, you know, a lot of these liquids have nicotine and higher levels of nicotine. And so they're unfortunately becoming addicted to nicotine at the same time they think they're doing something that's not harmful.
Shirley, in terms of are these things hard? You know, for those of us of a certain age, we all remember that, for example, you did not, if you were in high school, there were certain restrooms you didn't want to go into unless you wanted to fight your way through a cloud of smoke, cigarette smoke. That's where students would sneak in to try to smoke. So tobacco addiction among young folks is not a new challenge or phenomenon. Do these new devices make it harder to detect that? Because periodically, those of us, again, of a certain vintage would recall that there would be a crackdown and the administrators would go in and clear out that restroom for a couple of weeks and then everybody would drift back again. But it was easy to detect what was going on there. Are these harder to detect, Shirley?
The problem that we're hearing here, again, in Howard County in the schools is because these devices, it's not a powerful smoke that smells like a traditional cigarette. So therefore, when the kids are using the e-cigarettes, it may smell like the flavor that they've used for the cartridge or the e-juice. So that can be mistaken to a teacher or to a nurse or administrators in the school in the bathroom. It could be that somebody was, you know, putting on perfume or putting on lotion. It can be disguised as that because it doesn't have that traditional smoke smell. Again, depending on what vaping pen or e-cigarette or electronic nicotine device you're using, the smoke can be a little bit, I'd say, smaller than if you're using a pod, which gives a big cloud of smoke. So, again, they can be disguised as like a smell, or again, the puff of a smoke, you're not going to see it. It's not going to linger as long as a traditional cigarette.
Araceli, in terms of your reporting, what are the numbers associated with this? It's still, even if we're talking about 2015 to 2019, that's still a relatively brief period of time. Do we have any numbers about how many people are using these, what the size of the business is, or anything like that?
Right. So I got interested in this topic after reading about, from the 2018 National Youth Tobacco Survey. And what they came out and said basically is that there are 3.6 million teens that in the survey said they use e-cigarette in the last month. Last year, looking at last year to this year, that's a 78% increase. So 78% more teens are now using these devices. And what a lot of people are talking about is, within a year, and like Lee said, we're talking about a 641% increase from Juul sales. So that's a huge increase, that, right? There are 2.2 million devices that were sold alone in 2016. And when you look at 2017, that's 16.2 million devices. So we're looking at a big increase, and it just shot in popularity. And what I've been hearing in my reporting when I talk to teenagers is that a lot of the times it's like very wide use in social media. So they're looking at it in social media. They're seeing it on videos of people using it. There's like all of these challenges that the people say, oh, I'm going to use this, Juul and do it in my car for X amount of time. And then also when they're just with their friends, with other people at parties, it's one of those things that just gets used and people are kind of now so used to seeing them. And it's been a very short time period that this has been common among everybody.
So John,
go ahead.
In Newton County, the PE teacher was telling me that the kids will wait until the teacher turns around to write something on the board, and they'll Snapchat themselves, videotape themselves smoking or, using this vape device, blowing the vape down the front of their shirt so it doesn't go into the air, and then Snapchatting that and say, look what I got away with in this classroom. And so, there are challenges to do that within the school. And so that becomes very disruptive. But the teacher said, because they're putting it on social media, they're going to get caught. So, it offers them a way to catch them. The other problem is, this problem came out so quickly that the schools really don't have policies for vaping. And so North Newton High School uses their smoking policy. So they have suspended more kids this year, 34 kids this year, for vaping during school and having these devices, which is a lot higher, I guess, than the normal amount of kids that they suspend. So they're looking at ways of cracking down on, they're suggesting maybe getting the police involved this coming year to write tickets for people that are caught with vape devices in school, and hitting the parent in the pocketbook to try to get kids to stop using these things in school.
That's one of the things that I was also talking to teachers and administrators about. If you're caught, you're not allowed to have a tobacco product in school, but if you're caught, maybe you get a detention, a suspension. Maybe they call your parent to come get the Juul, that they found with the student. But then there's no resources, and because it's been so quick, there are really no resources. Maybe this teenager is hooked on this nicotine product and they're going to go right back to it. So it is a very interesting perspective that, teachers and administrators now have to deal with.
If you are just joining us, we are talking about the increasing use of e-cigarettes and vaping devices among Indiana youth. This is part of our ongoing community conversation in partnership with our colleagues at Side Effects Public Media about important public health issues. If you want to join the conversation, please give us a buzz at 866-476-3881. You can email us at nolimits@wfyi.org. Find us on Facebook at NoLimitsWFYI or track us down on Twitter at WFYI. My guests are Shirley Dubois with Howard County Tobacco Free. We'll be joined shortly by Dr. Leslie Holverson of the Indiana University School of Medicine. And we are talking with reporter Lee Danoon, Side Effects reporter Araceli Gomez-Aldana, and Danielle Patterson from the American Heart Association. I'm John Kroll. Please stay with us. Welcome back to No Limits. I am John Kroll, director of Franklin College's Pulliam School of Journalism, publisher of the StatehouseFile.com, and your host. We're talking today in partnership with our colleagues at Side Effects Public Media about increasing use of e-cigarettes and vaping devices among Indiana youth. My guests are Shirley Dubois with Howard County Tobacco Free, Side Effects reporter Araceli Gomez-Aldana, and Danielle Patterson from the American Heart Association. We hope to be joined soon by Dr. Leslie Holverschorn of the Indiana University School of Medicine. We were talking just a little while ago with our reporter Lee Danoon. If you want to join this conversation, you can send us an email at nolimits@wfyi.org. Find us on Facebook at nolimitswfyi. Track us down on Twitter at wfyi. Or you can do what a listener named Ernie has done and give us a call at 866-476-3881. Ernie, you're on the air.
Hey, good to be here.
Good to have you. What's on your mind?
Well, I tell you what, I'm a high school assistant principal, and so I deal exclusively with discipline. And in these cases, I deal with the e-cigarettes almost on a daily basis. And so it's a challenge for us. The conversations you guys are having today are very useful. But it is an epidemic that we are all dealing with at the high school level for sure.
So how big a problem is it at your school?
Well, and I know for us, we have, you know, reviewed even our policies now to see, are we responding to this as effectively as we can? And as the health effects become kind of more available to us, and as we start to investigate those as a staff, we've started to look at policy as, well, you know, should we start to ticket every time? And so I know our school is going to move to a ticket every time using our resource officer, but also zoning in the hallways to have teachers kind of check in on bathrooms and be more proactive as opposed to reactive. With specifically the Juul vape devices, as you guys have mentioned, are much more popular than some of the other ones.
How many students does your school have?
So we've got approximately 1,100 students.
Okay, 1,100 students. How many of them, do you have any idea how many of them are using these devices out of that 1,100? I realize I'm asking you to do a ballpark here. But...
Oh, absolutely. And so if you just kind of consider what we looked at year's end, right, we probably confiscated between 40 and 70 devices. So that's just students that were caught in the act or had it on their person. And so, you know, if you consider knowing that that's probably tip of the iceberg, I mean, it could be anywhere between, you know, 10-15% of our student body.
Okay, because that's even that number right there says 3-6% of your student body. Well, thank you very much for calling in and for sharing this information.
Hey, thank you.
Certainly. So, Danielle, this gives us some idea of the scope of the problem and how difficult it's going to be to enforce.
Well, it is. When you look at Juul, that came in and captured 70% of the market. And their 70% make up youth. They've been able to, you know, gain this market share with new users that are youth. We're not talking about adults that switch from one product to the next. This is truly our kids using these devices. The problems with enforcement, as schools have reported, is, number one, these devices look like, you know, jump drives. So you have to identify mm-hmm. them first, and then you have to confiscate them. Even kids have reported that they have 2, 3, 4 of these devices. So if you take one, they may have another one in their pocket or in their book bag. Or, you know, and we also have heard stories about kids sharing these devices. The other thing that I would like to say is that when schools do look at their policies, we would like to make sure that they include cessation services. You know, try to get kids enrolled in cessation services. So maybe the first time is not as punitive, but make sure that they have a way to and resources to quit using these devices. And then we could look at some penalties after the first offense, second, third offense, then you have to look at some more punitive devices. One of the things that we're considering is when we look at communities that are addressing smoke-free ordinances, how do we penalize these businesses that are selling to youth? But we have to do a lot of things to make sure that these devices are purchased by people that are 21 years and older. So we have a long way to go to address it, even from the enforcement side. You know, people buying these devices should be 21 and older. And a lot of times the laws aren't there yet.
One of the things that I heard also is just there's lack of education. Mm-hmm. Side Effects Public Media did community listening sessions around the state, one of them being with Shirley, who's also on the call. And what we gathered is that there's just a lack of information all around. Teachers don't need more information about this. There needs to be cessation programs in place. Also, parents need to learn about what they look like, where are people getting them. But even students, teens themselves, they have sometimes no idea that there's a lot of nicotine in these products. A lot of times they don't know that there's, you know, that one pod of the Juul that you're smoking is the same as a pack of cigarettes. They have no idea.
Although, Shirley, I'm going to toss this to you. At least with cigarettes, I mean, we can't dismiss this entirely. Often, that was part of the appeal for young people, that it was kind of willfully self-destructive, and they thought that was a little cool. Is that part of the appeal that these young people see with these devices?
Well, the appeal, of course, is the way they're marketed, what we call point of sales, and the flavor. And again, when you're doing your surveying, many youth will think that it's just flavoring and water vapor. So again, the education is very, very important. But really, the way they are marketed is they're normalized. Everybody's using it. It's safer than cigarettes. So again, I put a lot of blame on how they're marketed. And again, the appeal, I believe, is the flavors is the first appeal. Going back, just for a side note, for policy and enforcement in schools, again, in Howard County, and I can only speak for Howard County, but our schools have their own policy, so they may look different from school to school in the county schools. Some get suspended. Some get, if they're on a team, that they can't, you know, perform on the tennis team for three matches. So there's no really consistency throughout our school system. That's one thing. And then the other thing that I wanted to mention, John, was that anything that can be liquefied can be put into these e-cigarettes and the ends, what we call the ends. And that's when law enforcement, again, here in Howard County. So when the school confiscates these products, if there's an illegal substance in there, of course, they're calling law enforcement and getting them involved as well.
If you are just joining us, we are talking about the rising use of e-cigarettes and vaping devices among Indiana youth. If you want to join the conversation, you can send us an email at nolimits@wfyi.org. Find us on Facebook at nolimitswfyi. Track us down on Twitter at WFYI. Or do what a listener named David has done and give us a call at 866-476-3881. David, you're on the air.
Yeah. This is, I'm a 20-year teacher, and my wife works in the healthcare business and as a nurse in a cancer center. And I was listening to the Indianapolis 500 just the other day, yesterday, or 2 days ago, and we were listening to ads for these devices. This is poison. It's poison going into kids' bodies. And we're putting the onus on policing this, on teachers. It's crazy. This has got to be stopped at a much, much higher level.
Thanks very much for calling and sharing that observation, David. Araceli?
Yeah, I think a lot of what we have to talk about, especially as a health reporter, I kind of think about this as a public health problem. And yes, when I'm talking to the state and when we're talking about cigarette use, traditional cigarette use is down, which is a good thing overall. But we're talking about e-cigarettes now and vaping. And in adults, if they want to make the transition, you know, that's their choice. I think the epidemic and the problem is when we're talking about teens and them getting their hands on these devices. And we don't know what's going to happen because a lot of research and a lot of studies, that's with the adult brain and nicotine and cessation and behavior. We don't have any of that information with regards to teens. And I've done my reporting and I've heard of middle schoolers using these devices. We're talking about 12-year-olds, 13-year-olds. And yes, they are all exposed to all of this advertisement and they're exposed to the adults using some of these products. And when I talked to a teen and he said that, you know, his friend was using Juul and his mom caught him and his mom said, why are you using these things? And she's using traditional cigarettes. And the response is always like, well, it's healthier than what you're using. So, you know, what is the problem?
Danielle.
That is true. So when you talk about addressing this at the higher level, there were several bills authored this year at the State House during the legislative session to really look at and address Juul. The problem is you have to go all of the way. Most lawmakers just wanted to put a Band-Aid on this problem. One of the most effective policies that we can pass as a state is making sure that these products are classified as another tobacco product. And then raising the age, the minimum age of purchase to 21. That's the most effective thing we could do, number one. Number two is applying a tax. One of the ways that we were able to reduce tobacco use is that when we raise the tax so that we price the products out of people's hands. Right now, several bills were authored just to apply a 5-cent tax. What was that going to do? We really need to apply at least a 24% tax, just like other tobacco products, so that we, again, we could price these products out of the hands of youth. And unfortunately, we didn't have the political willingness to go that far. And this issue will be studied this summer by the Fiscal Policy Committee looking at what is the best way to
address
Indiana General Assembly. Yes. Thank you. Yes. What is the best way to address e-cigarette use and tax in the state of Indiana?
Shirley, I think that Araceli made the point that traditional cigarette use, traditional tobacco use has been declining while these have been skyrocketing. Is there any correlation between the two? That do we see any evidence that many of the traditional tobacco users are shifting to these devices instead?
I do think, again, the advertisement of that they're safer, it's a safe alternative to smoking. Again, the rise in the youth is the marketing. I truly believe also, like Danielle said, raising the tax consumption goes down. And so we know from the research that that also applies to smoke-free air policies. So the more communities, the more cities, states that are smoke-free and have smoke-free 100%, what we call comprehensive smoke-free, all public places are smoke-free, then consumption goes down. So I think smoke-free policies has helped traditional cigarettes decrease. However, communities did not add the e-cigarettes to their policies. So again, where you can't smoke traditional cigarettes, if the policy does not include the e-cigarette, they may be able to use those products. So that might be some of the increase as well as the marketing. And also, I know we've mentioned cessation a couple of times. Mm-hmm. The state does have a 1-800 quit now. Most people think that applies just to adults, but they do have a component for youth as long as you're 13 or older. So I do want to mention that as well. But there's not a whole lot of other resources that we can give out to parents and youth.
Gotten an email from a listener named Kevin, and again, our email address is nolimits@wfyi.org. Kevin writes, are there any rules in place concerning vaping in schools? Vape and e-cigs are not a tobacco product. Some contain nicotine if you request it. Many have absolutely no nicotine content. It's written on the label whether it contains nicotine. That point, I think, Araceli, do you want to deal with?
Right. So I think and it depends on, I mean, we've talked a little bit about this. It depends on the school and how they're addressing the issue. But when we're talking about smoking and tobacco use, I mean, e-cigarettes are included in that. I mean, if you look at the reports, you know, if you see something that says 5.6% of people 5% of people are now smoking, and that's an all-time low, right, since 2011. But electronic cigarette use among teens is increasing. Well, those numbers are included. And when we're talking about schools, the policy...
So the numbers of e-cigarettes are included in the overall 5%
right,
total.
Right. So you'll see that, you know, this, you know, X percent of people are, you know, the traditional cigarette use is down, but e-cigarettes are way up. And it's the same. They're counting it as the same. And schools are adopting those policies of tobacco-free. Well, that also includes e-cigarettes, especially if they have nicotine.
That the second piece of this that Kevin refers to, that some of the products don't have any nicotine in them at all. Danielle, you're shaking your head.
Well, we're finding that with e-cigarettes, it's just like when cigarettes first came on the market, and they wasn't as truthful about what was contained in cigarettes. We're finding the same things here with e-cigarettes. And so I'm not going to say that all of the products are labeled correctly. There's evidence that showed that some of the products have not been as truthful about their chemicals. And that's why we're telling schools and communities to err on the side of caution and to include e-cigarettes in local ordinances or in school policies, because we don't know what's in them. There hasn't been as many empirical studies on e-cigarettes as there have been on cigarettes.
Does that create, though, I would think, I'm putting my hat on as my school enforcement official hat on and thinking, okay, what do? I confiscate one of these things, or I catch someone, and the student points the label and says, look, no, there's no nicotine in there, nothing that's affected. Obviously, it sounds like these things can be easily adapted, so
exactly.
That's the case. That creates, I would think, though, to use a term from the Watergate era, plausible deniability, though.
Exactly. And that's why, Daniel, you know, it's just best to stick with the policy. If the policy says no e-cigarettes on campus, regardless if they have nicotine or no nicotine, confiscate it and apply whatever ramifications to that policy to that student. And that's why, you know, we've been very clear about the fact that whether it's nicotine or vapor, we don't know what's in these products. There's just not enough information to determine their level of safety, if it's a safe product or not. So the best thing for schools to do is just err on the side of caution and just, again, no use on campus whatsoever.
So, and we're coming up on a break here in about a minute and a half, Araceli. And I wanted to say, if people want to learn more about this, they're going to have an opportunity here in just a very short while, right? You've got another live conversation on Tuesday, June 4th, correct?
That's right. So as part of Side Effects Public Media and the listening sessions we had throughout the state in Kokomo and in Terre Haute, we're going to have a live streamed panel conversation with experts to talk about this very topic, youth and e-cigarettes. And that'll be June 4th at 11 a.m. You'll be able to access the link to watch it on your computer or your phone, on social media. And it's really easy to sign up and get that link. And all you have to do is go to Side Effects Public Media.org/events for more information. I will be moderating the panel, and we'll be talking about this topic. So if you like this topic, tune in.
If you are just joining us, we're talking about e-cigarettes and increasing use of vaping devices among Indiana youth. My guests are Shirley DuBois, Side Effects reporter Araceli Gomez Aldana, and Danielle Patterson. If you want to join the conversation, give us a buzz at 866-476-3881. I'm John Kroll. Please stay with us. Welcome back to No Limits. I am John Krall, director of Franklin College's Pulliam School of Journalism, publisher of the StateHouseFile.com, and your host. We are talking today in our ongoing community conversation about important public health issues that we do in partnership with our colleagues at Side Effects Public Media about the increasing use of e-cigarettes and vaping devices among Indiana youth. My guests are Shirley DuBois with Howard County Tobacco Free, Side Effects reporter Araceli Gomez-Aldana, and Danielle Patterson from the American Heart Association. If you want to join the conversation, you can do what a listener named Ian has done and give us a call at 866-476-3881. Ian, you're on the air.
Hi. Thank you all. I appreciate everything you're doing. I have more of a comment than a question. I feel like the discussion has been around stopping the use, and you guys have acknowledged that there's not good evidence for negative or positive effects. And I feel like maybe that's the wrong approach to go with children. I think maybe focusing on educating them about the products and about what we do and don't know would be a better use of resources and time, and would create a better standard for people we want to participate at an adult level later in these discussions.
Thanks.
One point is that nebulizers, for example, have been used for a long time to provide medicine. So there is a potential application of these devices to provide medication. I understand that's not what they're being used for now, but I think when we just outright ban things without actually focusing on the education, we potentially create a larger problem later.
Thanks very much for the call, the comments, and the questions, Ian. And I should say that we are joined now by Dr. Leslie Hulvershorn of the Indiana University School of Medicine. Dr. Hulvershorn, I wanted to give you the first chance to respond to what Ian just said. Is the evidence not entirely clear that these products may be harmful?
Well, I would say we certainly need more research for sure, but what we do have suggests that there are very high levels of nicotine, which is kind of unquestionably not good for a developing brain. And we also know that there are a number of other chemicals, many hundreds of chemicals, that are potentially bad for lungs, you know, not and possibly other organs as well as the brain. So I don't think I would say that it's we have no idea if these are good or bad. I think we have a pretty good sense, actually, that these are probably not great for young people. And so I would that point that there's we don't know yet if they're bad. I think five years ago when they first came out, we really didn't know. But there have been a few more studies that have come out that have been more convincing since then.
We've got a question from a listener named Otis who didn't want to go on the air. Says, has anyone studied if kids are smoking e-cigs because of stress, or is it more of a satisfaction from consuming nicotine? Can we come up with something that is safe and satisfying? Okay, I see it. Araceli really wants to jump in on that one.
Yes. With my reporting and when I was talking to teens about this and parents, I think there's this big disconnect, right? So parents think that teens who are using e-cigarettes or vaping or Juuls, they're like hanging out with the bad kids, or they're going down the wrong path and they're making these decisions. Like, you kind of have this image of your mind of somebody in the back smoking cigarettes with the bad crew, right? It's not like that at all. I mean, when I'm talking to teens, a lot of people are doing it. And when we say everyone's doing it, that's really it. And it's people who, it's kids who are just, they're trying it. They see other people doing it. It's not like a peer pressure. Oh, you need to do this to be cool. It's very different. And when I was asking teens about why they're using these products, a lot of it does go back to stress. And what you end up hearing is them saying, like, well, sometimes you go throughout the day and you're like, wow, I could really, you know, use a Juul right now if they're really stressed out or if something happened to them. So that has a, you know, that's like a different perspective than what parents are thinking about why kids are using these Juul devices. So I thought that was interesting, and I wrote about that.
No, I agree. And going back to the gentleman's question, too, regarding the devices being used to deliver medicine, again, this summer, the Indiana Fiscal Policy of the Indiana General Assembly will study this issue along with CBD oil, because we did hear from adults that use these products for CBD oil. But to go back to what John was saying, is that schools are confiscating these devices, and they're finding out that kids are using drugs in these devices as well. So it's a fine line. And of course, education is paramount, is number one, then prevention, cessation. And unfortunately, you know, if kids continue to use it, that's when we get into the punitive stage.
Dr. Holvershorn, in terms of the, you know, has there been research that tracks, you know, the motivation for first trying this? You know, we talked before you joined the program about, you know, kids have been smoking for a long time, and often part of the appeal was that it was self-destructive behavior for them. Is the mindset the same when it comes to using these products, or what else are they, or are they doing it, as Araceli suggested, for almost self-medicating purposes?
Yeah, well, I think that it is different than other products. It's certainly different than drugs of abuse that are illegal. But remember, nicotine is a highly addictive substance, so it doesn't take very many exposures to it to get hooked on it. And then when you don't have nicotine available to you, you feel stressed. And so I don't know that I'd want to go down the path of saying these kids are stressed and that's why they're using it. It's hard to say exactly why. You know, there's different motivations for each young person, and a lot of research on why young people try different drugs of abuse. I'm not familiar with a lot of research on e-cigarettes and what motivates those initial trials for them. But you know, for some kids, it's wanting to be part of a peer group. For others, it's wanting to do something kind of illicit and exotic and exciting. But they're so easy to get hold of. They're so ubiquitous that it's probably a different motivation for many kids. And they're flavored and marketed just at their age group. So it's almost like, why wouldn't you do these? And they're perceived as safe, which again, they're not, but that's the general perception. And so but you know, some drugs of abuse you can use many, many times before you get hooked on them, whereas nicotine is one of the most addictive. And so it doesn't take very many tries to develop this pathway in your brain that is reinforced by these substances. So young people, it's very hard to stop using. And because there's such a high level of nicotine in them, they really struggle to stop. And they'll perceive that as stressful when they're not able to access it. But I don't know that I'd say that they're necessarily self-medicating as a whole.
Right. I interviewed a college student that tried Juul for the first time in high school. And his perspective was that at the time when he was in high school, and somebody offered it to him, a Juul, at a party, and he had to do this like mental math. And, you know, he's like, well, I don't want to do something like drugs. I don't want to do something illegal. Right. And this is something that's legal-ish, right? I will be able to use it legally in a year. And it's perceived as healthy, and it's not as bad as a cigarette. So, yes, I tried it, right? So it's very, very much a gray area for them, I think.
Mm-hmm. That slippery slope, Shirley, is that is that one of the challenges in coping with this problem? Shirley?
Yes. I'm sorry, your question again?
Well, basically, the fact that, you know, there are all of these quasi-justifications that, you know, there's a relatively big leap in saying, okay, I'm a teenager and I'm going to start smoking a cigarette. But as Araceli just pointed out, you can make the journey to starting to use e-cigarettes in a series of small steps rather than that big one. Does that create challenges in dealing with this problem?
Yes, and again, I think the youth look at these products as, well, I can just do it once and I'm not going to get hooked. Again, the education of letting them know the amount of nicotine. Again, as was mentioned, a Juul pod has the same amount of nicotine as in a pack of cigarettes. So again, It's marketed to everybody, the normalization. And again, I truly believe that you think, oh, I can just take one hit and then I'm not going to ever get hooked on these.
I think the one thing we have to do in when we talk about education is to include, you know, the component of these companies are targeting you. We need to stop soft selling this thing and just educate youth. They're coming after you because they need the market share. With the number of people that are quitting smoking, they need something to make up those dollars. I did a presentation at North Central High School, and it was amazing, you know, when we talked about just from the market, the business side of this, how many students didn't know that they're being targeted, that these companies are coming after them. And that's why Juul have all of these new users. They have marketed this product. It's cool. It's fun. Here are the colors. Here are the flavors. You know, it looks like a computer, a jump drive. You could get away with this. There's that, you know, I can hide this really quick in my pocket and the teacher is not going to know. So they've been very sophisticated in developing these future users of these products. I mean, very sophisticated. And so we really need to hit home with that with parents and with students and with administrators and teachers.
We've got a listener named
John.
Yes, please.
John, when I do my presentations, and it doesn't matter if they're middle school or high school, I do this exercise for them to raise their hand if they've seen advertisement during their Snapchatting. They raise their hand. I do the same thing. Have you seen these products in Twitter? They raise their hand. Facebook, they raise their hand. So I mention all the social media. By the time I mention all the social media, every hand has been raised. And so I bring the point that every time they're liking a post, sharing a video, they are really actually doing the marketing for these the big industry free of charge, because they're not getting paid every time they self-market it. And so I try to explain to them that, you know, the big industry is trying to get them to be their next customers. And it's just alarming. Then it goes off in their head like, oh, that's right, because every time I post and share, I'm doing their marketing.
We've got a call from a listener named Norman. And again, if you want to join the conversation by phone, you can call us at 866-476-3881 with a comment question that's pretty much on point. Norman, you're on the air.
Good afternoon, everyone. Good afternoon to your panel. Real quick, I'm a truck driver. That's what I do for a living. I just want to say this. The genie's already out of the bottle. And here's what my thing is that when it comes to something like this, it came to the market too fast. They knew exactly what they're doing because it's highly profitable. They did the same thing. You know, I mean, text messages are great. But out on the road, you see people text messaging all the time. To me, that was something that should have never been introduced to the masses of public. Same way it is with drones. They're neat. They're cool. But now you're seeing that airports all over the world are having problems with it. Even the Eiffel Tower, down Eiffel Tower in France, is now being overrun with these things. So now they got people watching for them because these drones are just, you know, tearing up the airspace. I'm saying this about these e-cigarettes the same way. And she mentioned a good one, Juul. I know a lot of people that use them. And just like she said, there's the equivalent of a pack of cigarettes and one hit of this thing. Now, they can actually dial the nicotine. Some of it you can actually adjust how much nicotine you actually want to admit into your system. And she's, again, correct. Nicotine is the most addictive chemical known to man right now at this place, at this point. And the reason why is because of its accessibility. See, that's what makes alcoholism run rampant, is because it's not because of what it is. Yes, because of what it is, but how easy it is accessible to get your hands on it. Same way it is with the children in the stores.
Norman, I'm going to step in. You've given us a lot to chew on here, and we're getting a little close on time. Thanks very much for the call and sharing that. Dr. Hulvershorn, we probably ought to pivot to how do we solve this problem right now? Well, I'll throw it to Danielle instead.
Sure.
Thank you.
From a policy perspective, again, number one, addressing e-cigarettes as a product that can only be purchased by adults 21 years and older is one of the most effective things we could do. Taxing the product at a higher level so we could tax the product out of the hands of youth. Ensuring that when communities are working on local smoke-free air ordinances that e-cigarettes are included in the ordinance. Also, funding tobacco prevention cessation at a substantial amount. We willfully fund tobacco prevention cessation at $7.5 million. The CDC recommends at least $77 million. We will settle for $35 million so that we can make sure that cessation programs are in schools and throughout every county in Indiana. We have a policy paper on our website on a tobacco endgame for the American Heart Association that address a number of these policy steps. We feel if you put them in place, we can realize a tobacco-free, e-cigarette-free world.
Shirley, in about 30 seconds, what are effective ways of dealing with this that you have seen at the ground level?
And I ditto exactly what Danielle said. Again, here in Howard County, we have the smoke-free policy as of March of 2017. We included the ENDS and the e-cigarettes. And again, I can't stress enough for the 1-800, the resources to keep providing that there is help for those youth that want to quit. But again, policy change and increase, not only increase the e-liquids, but the tax on the devices themselves, I think would be very helpful.
So, Araceli, I'm going to give you the last word here, sure, because we've got more calls, more emails and all of that we're not going to have time to deal with today. But it sounds like there is another opportunity for people to continue this conversation.
That's
with
right.
Some of these same folks, right?
That's right. Yes, we're going to have expert panel on and talk about this very topic about youth and e-cigarettes specifically. So you can join us for that. And we're going to do that June 4th. And it'll be a link which you could access the link through your smartphone or computer, tablet, social media. So all you have to do is go to sideeffectspublicmedia.org/events. It'll give you the information to receive the link, and you can join us, ask questions, and we'll talk about this for another hour. I'll be moderating the panel, and anyone who has questions or wants to know more can visit us there.
That'll have to be the last word. I'd like to tell our listeners, though, that Hamilton, Boone, Madison, Delaware, Henry, and Tipton counties are under a severe thunderstorm watch until 7:30 p.m. I'd like to thank my guests for what has been a great conversation. I am John Krall. You've been listening to No Limits. Thank you for joining us.
No Limits is a production of 90.1 WFYI Public Radio, Indianapolis. Producers Sarah Neal Estes, Roxana Caldwell, and Jill Sheridan. Interactive Media Coordinator Scott McAllister. Technical producers, Cedric Freeman and Chris Flood, and board engineer, Joe Hatcher. Emily Matheny screens our calls. No Limits is made available through IPBS, Indiana's public broadcasting stations.